I'm AJ Bianco, host of Reflect Ed, a part of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
Hey, welcome back. Steve here, and today I'm talking with Jean Eddy. She is the president and CEO of American Student Assistance, or ASA. She also is the author of the book, Crisis Proofing Today's Learners, Reimagining Career Education to Prepare Kids for Tomorrow's World. Hey, and she wants to help kids find a career that may be an alternative to college. What a cool conversation. You're going to learn so much, and you might be helping out your senior figure out what they're going to do down the road. Good stuff. And by the way, before you go, there's a couple of different ways you could help out the podcast, and I'd love it if you did this. The first way is you could tell a friend or a colleague or, you know, a family member about the podcast, and that would be so cool. You say, hey, you ought to listen to Teaching Learning Leading K-12 and then give them a link. That would be cool. Another way would be, you know, you go to my website and leave a review as well as subscribe. That would be cool. And a final way would be, how about, you know, on the front page of my website, there's a link there called Buy Me a Coffee. By clicking on the link at my website, you can donate a dollar or two to help me deal with the costs of podcasting. That would be so cool. Thanks so much for thinking about this. You are awesome. Enjoy the show.
Oh, there were so many reasons why I wrote it, but I would have to say the most compelling reason why I wrote it was that most of my career I was in higher education, and I worked with a number of kids who really didn't understand why they were in college. Like, it was the thing to do. Their parents expected it. They thought, well, I better go to college because my parents will be disappointed if I don't. And they really thought that by going to college, that was going to be the magic bullet, that they'd be able to figure out what it was they wanted to do next. But oftentimes, that didn't happen. And kids took too long to graduate and still didn't know what they wanted to do. Or worse yet, they dropped out.
It's the Education Podcast, your favorite show, with lots of groovy guests and they share what they know. So crank it up the tin and let your neighbors know that here's another show with Dr. Steve Mileto. Teaching, learning, leading K-12. Teaching, learning, leading K-12. Teaching, learning, leading K-12. With Dr. Steve Mileto.
Jean Eddy is the president and CEO of American Student Assistance, or ASA, where she develops and drives the overall strategic direction of the organization. Working with the ASA board and senior management team, she is responsible for developing and driving the overall strategic direction of the organization in fulfillment of ASA's mission. Jean provides leadership and oversight for ASA as it evaluates and implements new initiatives to help kids discover their education and career opportunities. Jean, thanks so much for being on the show, and say hi to everyone.
Hello, everyone. So happy to be here.
Well, glad to have you here, and we got some cool stuff we're going to talk about today, and you're the president and CEO of American Student Assistance. Could you share with everyone what the purpose or why of ASA, American Student Assistance, is?
Sure. So at ASA, American Student Assistance, we help kids find out about careers and help them plan for their future. It is very clear to me, very clear to us, that kids aren't getting the information that they need to make really good choices as they are moving through the educational process. And we want to be able to help them do that.
Very cool. Very cool. So how does ASA help kids? I mean, how does it work? How do they get access to this?
So through a number of ways. We have a number of free digital platforms that kids can use. In fact, I would have to say over 15 million kids in middle and high school use it currently. But they do things like exploring their interests and abilities. They explore the myriad of careers that are available to them as they match up those skills and abilities. And then we help them figure out a way to test and try. So things like apprenticeships, internships, those kinds of things. And we do that again by linking them through our digital platforms, but I would also say we support school systems and initiatives with other nonprofits to help people who think like us to be able to expand their missions.
Excellent. Love that. All right. So You know, one of the things that you've done is written a book called Crisis Proofing Today's Learners, Reimagining Career Education to Prepare Kids for Tomorrow's World. So why'd you write it?
Oh, there are so many reasons why I wrote it. But I would have to say the most compelling reason why I wrote it was that most of my career I was in higher education. And I worked with a number of kids who really didn't understand why they were in college. Like, it was the thing to do. Their parents expected it. They thought, well, I better go to college because my parents will be disappointed if I don't. And they really thought that by going to college, that was going to be the magic bullet, that they'd be able to figure out what it was they wanted to do next. But oftentimes, that didn't happen. And kids took too long to graduate and still didn't know what they wanted to do. Or worse yet, they dropped out. In both cases, most of these kids took out quite a few loans and then had to pay these loans back. And the worst case scenario, of course, was the kid who took out all kinds of loans, dropped out of school, and then had no way to pay these loans back. So now it kind of dovetails with what ASA has done for the last 65 years, which is being a federal guarantor, which is working with borrowers who are trying to repay their loans. And, you know, I heard stories about young people saying, well, I never should have taken out all this money. I didn't know what I was doing. Or the money I took out is not aligning with the amount of money I'm actually making in my career. And all said, I wish I knew more as I started on this process. So I had like the perfect storm. I had my life experience as well as what was happening at ASA and figured, you know, what happens if we get in this process earlier and help kids figure this out very early on in the process when they're in middle school, because research shows that the best time to engage young people as far as curiosity, interest, those kinds of things is middle school. So I had all of this information and thought, I really need to write about this. I need to let it more so parents be able to see kind of the inner workings of some of this and how they could help their sons and daughters be able to navigate this in a different way and thus crisis-proof them for whatever comes next.
That's so awesome, because it's powerful. I mean, a lot of people, I'm someone who I knew from an early age where I was trying to go, but I went through different ideas about what I might do and stuff like this. Like one time I wanted to fly jets and a friend of mine told me, you know, you don't like roller coasters. You think that's a good idea to go, you know, it's funny because a lot of times some of the suggestions we get along the way as we're kids and stuff like this are things that for some reason stick in our head. We never really quite think it through. And it's nice to have some ideas, someone to support, especially when, you know, you may have no idea. Like I had some friends who had no idea and really struggled for, what that direction would be. So might have ended up like you were just describing a little bit ago, someone who, you know, goes off to college and then goes, what am I doing? You know? So who's your target audience for crisis proofing?
Parents for sure, educators, policymakers, and I would say employers. Because right now, you know, we are still living in a world where so many employers are using a college degree as kind of the entry point. And skills-based hiring, while it started, has not really taken on full fold. And everyone, I think, needs to play a role in this. This isn't just the job of teachers. Heaven knows, teachers do, so much. They have packed days. They have curriculums that they have to deliver. It can't just be about what teachers can do. It has to be about what parents can do for sure and how they can influence what is going on with their own sons and daughters. And I do believe that if we get the word out far enough, we can start to impact policy, how people view our educational process, and in hope of changing it.
Yeah, that's such a powerful thought, because I know myself, without my parents, even though they didn't really know how to do, they helped me come up with ideas in the days when I wasn't really thinking about. So like I had a non-paid internship at a veterinarian's clinic, which, by the way, I learned I don't like
that.
Didn't
want to do it.
No, because I got to, you know, I had the fun jobs of cleaning up after all kinds of things, but I also got to see that, you know, animals die at the vet clinic, and it's like, yeah, that's not me. I can cry. I cry at Dumbo and Bambi and stuff like that. You know, it's like, yeah. I can't. That's not me. And, you know, and it's just any number of things that getting opportunities to do some of that, that those types of experience where parents can really come successful. And I think we'll talk more about that a little bit later. But I love this focus. So let's get into some specific situations or needs. What thoughts you have about certain things. What are your thoughts about the skills of the future the kids need, and how can kids get them?
Well, I have a whole chapter in the book about things that kids need that would really equip them to handle what's next, because I think anybody would agree that the jobs of tomorrow are going to be very, very different. And heaven knows we're not sure what even those jobs will be. And so, but being able to give young people the skills that they need, and I think it's, again, it's a community effort here, but teaching kids how to be adaptable, giving them digital fluency, which is really, really important, being able to understand data and how it comes out, the ability to analyze it, communication skills, how to problem solve, and how to work in a team. And if you have all of those things, anything that life throws at you, you can pretty much figure it out. And I think that, again, this isn't just something that we ask our teachers to incorporate into what's happening in the classroom. This is something that, and certainly I'm not saying that there aren't teachers who do that, because there are. There are some amazing school systems out there that do that very thing. But parents can help. They absolutely can help. And, you know, we talk about the digital world. I'm a fan of the digital world. Many of the games that kids play teach them about leadership, being able to hang in there when they are up against all odds, being able to work together to come up with a plan. There are many, many things that kids can learn in the digital space that we need to lean into.
That's awesome. I definitely know that it is changing every day. That's for sure, some of the things that they need to be aware of and be comfortable with, at least, you know, trying or working with or learning a little bit about. Because I know, when ChatGPT came on the scene, this, you know, was, even though it was there, they kind of put it out for everybody to see it. All of a sudden, people are a little panic. But there's all kinds of things happening, especially with automation and the changing of the job world. Many of them have to become comfortable with. Good focus here. We one of the things is that college has been the focus for post high school for many years, but is it right for everyone? You've kind of alluded to some of this. Let's go a little deeper into that.
No, I don't believe that college is right for everyone. And I think that for many, many years, college has been associated with achieving the American dream. But if you look at how difficult it is for kids to get through college. I mean, our graduation rates are not great. There's a reason for that. And actually, for kids from underrepresented groups, kids who have any kind of disability or challenge of any kind, graduate in even fewer numbers than the general population. That says something to me. We have a number of opportunities where there are a myriad of jobs, and I mean a myriad of jobs out there that don't require a college degree, but I would have to say most kids don't know about them. They don't know how to get them. They don't know how to get the training to do them, et cetera. And I'm not saying that at some point in time, a student might not try an apprenticeship or a boot camp or a training program with an employer and then go on to college. But I would hope that at that point, they would have some direction as they go to college. Because right now, so many young people are just going there without a design in mind. And I think that, and I make this joke all the time, how difficult is it for you to get a plumber to come to your house? Or an electrician?
Yes.
Or a skilled craftsman of any kind? I was sitting on a plane coming back from a conference, and I was talking to a woman in the next seat about this, and she was talking about the fact that she lives in a very high-end area in North Carolina, and that the people who have the biggest houses, the biggest pools, the most manicured lawns are all of the tradesmen. So there is a very good life that people can have out there, and we have to get away from stigmatizing careers in the way that we have. We just have to.
That is so much so. I have to tell this story when I was in college, I had several different jobs. One job that I had to help me pay for it was I drove a big delivery truck for a plumbing supply warehouse. So I was using my skills that I learned in the Army of driving a stick to drive these big trucks. And I would go to these job sites. Many of them, some of them were houses and things like that, but many of them were apartments being built or condominium complexes. And it's fascinating because in this area of North Florida where I was, many of the plumbers that exist in that very large county all came from like one of three plumbers long mm-hmm. time ago. And it's because some of them saved their money, put it aside, put it in and invested in creating their own company. And I thought that was fascinating because you saw that kind of, I don't know how to really describe it, but it's like this impact of from these three, all these hundreds of other plumbers came from. And I thought that was cool because it was because of apprenticeships and programs like that, that weren't formalized through schools. They were through the gentlemen or the ladies took a job with a plumbing company and then got trained on how to do things spent time as an apprentice. And then some of them went on to open their own businesses, which I thought was cool. So
many young people who are in, skills crafts right now are there because their father was in that field, or their mother was, or their uncle was, or their grandfather was, et cetera. And there are many young people who have the skills to be in those, but don't even realize that they do. And it's because we're not giving them the information they need. They're not making the kind of choices that they could make because of lack of information. And that's what we've got to work on.
That's so right. So we're kind of in this realm of what I'm going to ask you. So let's kind of just take a little further, but let's talk a little bit about why students might not look toward the trades. I mean, and community colleges, the trade schools and community colleges. Why do they not really kind of look at that as an option after high school? What do you think?
Because I think that there is a stigma associated with it. I think if you don't go to college, there is a feeling of that someone has let someone down. With the research that we first started quite a few years ago now, we were interacting with parents as well as students and asking them about this very thing. Parents are willing to have their sons and daughters look at careers outside of the college education realm. However, 60% of them say that they would feel as though they failed their son or daughter if they didn't go to college. And likewise, kids feel the same way. So what we have to do is, and we are working on it, we've been working on it for a few years now, to dispel this notion that there are good and bad careers. There are best and less than careers. There are careers that you can be very, very happy with that don't require a college degree. I still maintain it's all about information and it's all about letting kids test and try. I can't say enough about exploration classes in high school or the ability to test and try in high school. We have a platform right now that allows young people to go into it. It's called Evolve Me, and be able to connect to an apprenticeship or figuring out how to do a job interview or getting more information about what you need to do X, Y, or Z. This is the kind of stuff we have to lean into, and everybody needs to do it, not just ASA, but everybody.
Love that. I mean, there's so many aspects to, and one of the things, I want to go back to that story of working for that plumbing supply warehouse. One of the things that, it taught me was also learning to to interact. Now, I did a lot of this in the Army too, but learning to interact with people who are have certain jobs who may not be, okay, nice, or their demeanor may be a little gruff or something like that, and you had to work those things. Because, like, for example, I might be delivering a cast iron tub that has to go to a house that's being built, and the tub goes on the second floor. And if you can't figure out how to make that little group that's sitting there waiting on you friendly, you're going to be trying to figure out how to get the tub up the stairs by yourself. and stuff like that. So, but it's interesting how many different sorts of nuances come with, even if it's just as an experience as an apprentice or something like that, being able to experiment like you're talking about with those positions, the types of other things you learn from interacting with people on those types of jobs, which is cool. So,
yeah, absolutely. And I think I can't say enough about apprenticeships. I can't say enough about internships, because they really allow a young person to be able to interact in a field and understand the nuances of that. You know, how do you talk to a boss? How do you talk to your colleagues? What can you get away with saying and what can't you? I mean, sometimes it can be a scary learning curve, but nonetheless, it's better to learn it when you're in high school rather than moving on, going through college, and then suddenly there you are. I mean, there's nothing quite like interviewing a young person who's just graduated from college who has none of this kind of experience. Right. It's a very, very different kind of interview, I have to say.
Very much so, especially when no one may have talked to them about when you dress for an interview, that they may equate the same things they wear to a club are the same things you wear to an interview. And I've had plenty of experience of having those conversations with interviewees.
I was just going to say, you must have experience in this area.
Oh, yeah, yes, sure. Because it's quite a unique, it's very noticeable when they walk in and you're like, yes, this young person thinks that that's appropriate for this school to wear this on the day. Yeah. So, but, you're so right. I mean, I have to go back to that job again, because I mentioned one thing. So I learned something interesting, because when you drove these big trucks, you go on some of these sites. This is Florida. So you have the beach, sandy soil and stuff like this. And you have some of these crews and they're great guys. And they'd see the truck coming in the area, and then they'd see you and they'd say, come on over this way, come on over this way and check what you got. And then some of them were so nice that they actually walked you straight into a hole or something like this. And so the front end of the truck is, so heavy. It goes in, it went into this massive sandy area. And I'll never forget when this foreman saw what the guy, his own man did to me, because he's helping me get in, get in there before we can unload all this concrete block and all this plumbing supply stuff. And they, it was cool, because the foreman comes over and he goes, do not worry, because he kind of read my mind. He said, you're not going to have to call your boss, because we're going to get you unstuck. So, and he was right on the money. The foreman came out, he said something to the guy who backed me into the hole. And then he went over and he got this big forklift that went under the front end of the truck, and he had me pop the clutch, and I went backwards, and we were good, and we were out. But that, it's just simple things like that, because there is no without help or somebody who knows what they're doing. I could have still been on that property today. That was a long time ago.
There's no training manual in so many cases.
No.
All true.
Oh, so much so. Let's talk about this. I mean, some people listening might be parents of seniors, or there might be some seniors who are listening to us. I mean, we're talking as we're coming out of winter, going into what would be a senior's last hurrah in high school. Is it too late for them to figure things out?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. There are, again, the first thing I would tell them to do is go to ASA.org and just start playing around. And I would have to say, everything we do is designed to have fun. The one thing that I've learned early on, and has been supported by every organization we work with, kids learn when they're having fun. If you think about it, we all do. And so to be able to produce something that, this is a lark, but as they are doing it, they're going to learn valuable stuff. And all of these tools, and even tools that we work with schools on in middle school and high school, are not going to track anybody. They're not going to say, you need to do this. What it's going to do is say, these are the kinds of things that you should really look at because you're good at it. And if you're good at something and you know you are, then the likelihood of you succeeding in that area is going to be pretty high. And so even if you're a senior in high school, you can start to get some direction. And before you know it, summer's going to come. You're going to decide. The registrar's office is going to be at you. You're going to college. And the registrar's office is going to be at you and saying, pick your classes. That's why you need to be doing this in senior year.
Very, very much so. That's cool. It's interesting because you got me thinking about all kinds of pressures that exist there. For some children I've known, they get to that point and then nothing matters. It's like until suddenly
senioritis. Yes.
Yes. Until suddenly, someone says, you're going to have one or the other type thing going on here. So, and that someone is usually the person who, the parent of the home who's starting to wonder if their child is going to have something to pursue. And, one of the things that comes out of this is, you talk about, we've mentioned a couple times, internships and apprenticeships and, other types of hands-on experiences. How do they go about trying to find that stuff that might help them, identify what they want to do?
So there are a lot of school systems who are now incorporating them. There are also employers who are known for doing internships and apprenticeships. Amazon is a big one to do that. Walmart is a big one to do that. But in addition to that, again, we have it on our site, ASA.org, so that students can go out and find them. But there are a lot of companies out there who are offering apprenticeships. In fact, you can go out and Google where you can find some apprenticeships. The best way to do it, however, is to do it through school or do it through someplace, an organization that does it, who will give you some. What you want to have is you want it to be credentialed. You want to make sure that we're sending someone to a good place, to some, where they're safe, all those kinds of things. So that is, I think, the primary reason why I say go through your school system, go through an organization, come to us at ASA. Because that way you can be assured that what you're going to get is a valuable experience.
I love that. That's awesome. Because that's really the way as you start learning how to do things. Everything from, I've mentioned a couple of things, from driving giant trucks to learning how to connect with people and stuff like this that just simply come from, even though I was getting paid for that job, it taught me a lot about as I interacted with everything from all the people you pretty much named before, which were plumbers and electricians, and I met welders, I met a little bit of everybody, and masons, and I could tell you a little bit of all of that, which is so cool. Good stuff. Gene, we're getting close to finishing up. If someone wanted to follow up and connect with you and or learn more, where would you send them?
So certainly send them to our website, ASA.org. Also, my book is on there. I love it when they read the book and have, then they contact me to have a conversation. I just got a text this morning. I don't know who this person is, but obviously they have my cell phone number. And then they basically said, I just finished your book. I love it. Can we have a conversation? And I said, sure. I'd love to have a conversation. And we have conversations. I have conversations, all over. This is a big issue. It's something that we all need to come together on. And the more we talk, the more information we get out there, the better.
Love it. Love it. And I'll put that information in the show notes so they can find it easily. I got two last questions I like to ask my guests. And the first one's this: how do you overcome the feeling of overwhelm or wanting to quit? It's too much going on type thing.
This is fire in the belly stuff. This is changing minds and hearts. This is like working on a, have you ever worked on a political campaign where you were in love with the candidate and you wanted to make sure that the candidate absolutely won? That's what this is for me. I absolutely love kids and I want to see them succeed.
That's cool. Love the analogy too, because I have worked on a campaign where it's like candidate didn't win, but it was cool trying to get there.
Yep. And it was all encompassing and you could feel it.
Yes. That's awesome. That is awesome. Last question. Do you have a teacher in your past who made a difference in your life? If so, who was it? And what would you say if given the chance to say thank you?
Yes, I had a teacher in my life who was actually I'm thinking about this now as I say this, as we're talking about my book, but she was an English teacher when in high school. Her name is Mrs. Sofranco. And I went to a private girls' school, and she was a hard, hard driver. She had the bar way up, way over your head, and pushed and pushed and pushed. And there were points in time where I thought, you know, I just can't give this lady anything else that I have. But I would have to say what she taught me about how to write, how to get my point across, is something that I've used my entire life.
That is awesome. I love it. Jean, thank you so much for sharing with us today. You talked about your book, Crisis Proofing Today's Learners, Reimagining Career Education to Prepare Kids for Tomorrow's World. You also talked about all these other alternatives to college that are out there that they just have to have the information, which means they need to go to ASA to get some information about that. And I appreciate you joining us and your focus. This is amazing. Wishing you the best in all you do.
Thank you. You too.
Hey, you have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, a podcast to help you help kids achieve their dreams. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is a member of the Education Podcast Network. Podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is a member of the podcast network based in Canada called Voice Ed Radio. Voice Ed Radio, your voice is right. The opinions expressed on Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 are those of the guests and host. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is intended to share ideas, advice, and suggestions. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is produced for educational purposes. Hey, thanks for listening. It would be awesome if you visited my website at stephenmaletto.com and connected with me, left a review, and listened to more episodes. And by the way, you could also share it with your friends, with your family, and your colleagues. Thanks so much. You're awesome.